Okay, let's unpack this. Have you ever looked at an old item, maybe something inherited or, a vintage piece you spotted online and found yourself wondering, well, what's its true value? Could it be some kind of hidden gem, a piece of history maybe, waiting to unlock a surprising return? Because today, we're diving into a world that's, well, far beyond traditional stocks and bonds. We're talking about the vibrant, sometimes really surprising realm of investing in antiques and collectibles. Now, your typical investments, they certainly have their place, right? But there's this incredible parallel universe of unique, tangible assets just waiting to be explored. So this deep dive, it's all about navigating that fascinating market, understanding the underlying trends, and learning what truly makes an item valuable. And get this, it's no small pond we're talking about. It's a global market currently valued at nearly $500 million and projected to double by 2033.
Double, yeah.
Yeah.
That's significant.
It really is. It's this unique blend of, profit seeking and genuine passion. It appeals to seasoned investors, but also just anyone with that deep sense of nostalgia.
What's fascinating there is you've really hit on the core drivers behind this explosive growth. It isn't just pure financial speculation.
Yeah.
It's genuinely fueled by a desire for portfolio diversification, that powerful wave of nostalgia you mentioned, and honestly, the continuous emergence of intriguing new products entering the collectible space. So our mission today really is to give you a clear roadmap to help you understand this dynamic landscape, everything from the most rapidly emerging trends, down to the nuanced, sometimes almost artistic process of valuation. So whether you're already a dedicated collector or maybe just curious about where to start, hopefully you'll be able to make much more informed decisions about these kinds of unique assets.
Right. And forget those old ideas of like stuffy aristocrats trading dusty relics in hushed, velvet-lined auction rooms. That's not really the picture anymore, is it?
Got it all.
This market is incredibly vibrant, constantly changing, really shaking off its traditional image. We're seeing huge shifts. For instance, online platforms now account for a significant chunk, 20% of all sales.
20%, yeah, it's a big number.
And what's maybe even more telling, the average age of buyers is actually decreasing. So you've got this whole new energy coming in, fresh perspectives, and often new categories of interest in what's considered valuable. So what does all this mean for someone like you, maybe looking to make a smart, tangible investment?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, these demographic shifts, the tech shifts, they're leading to some very attractive financial opportunities. The average yield for the right investments in this market can be somewhere around 10%.
10%. That's highly appealing.
It's highly appealing, yeah. Especially in an era of, well, economic uncertainty.
Yeah.
And certainly when you compare it to the more modest returns from traditional savings accounts over the past few years, it makes a compelling case for diversification. However, and this is crucial, while profit is a significant driver, genuine passion and deep knowledge are equally important here. Many participants aren't just investors looking for a return. They are genuinely knowledgeable collectors who really understand their chosen niche inside and out.
Right, they love the stuff too.
Exactly. Now, no investment is entirely risk-free, of course, but approaching this market with an understanding of what makes items truly desirable, well, that provides a strong, informed foundation.
Okay, so here's where it gets really interesting, I think. The sheer diversity of what's considered collectible today is just astounding. It's not just grand paintings and antique furniture anymore, is it?
Oh, absolutely not. We're talking about a whole treasure trove of possibilities. It encompasses everything from, digital nostalgia right through to timeless luxury pieces. We're seeing this fascinating blend of rapidly emerging niche markets alongside those traditional pillars that, well, they continue to provide secure, steady opportunities. And when you think about what drives value across all these different categories, it often boils down to things like rarity, craftsmanship, brand heritage, and cultural significance.
Okay, so break it down for us. Where should people be looking? What are some examples?
All right, let's start with some of those emerging and maybe more niche markets. Take rare coins, for instance. This presents a significant opportunity. The global market is estimated at around $14 billion.
Wow.
Yeah, and has a compound annual growth rate that's its average projected annual growth of about 10.6%. Now, the most valuable investment coins, they're generally the uncirculated and almost uncirculated ones. Think about the UK's Kew Gardens 50p piece.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that one.
Right. Only 210,000 minted. That makes it a genuinely rare find. The insight here is really about limited mintage, and often there's a compelling story or theme attached, like royal commemorations. That kind of thing drives intense collector demand.
And it's not just the old school physical items anymore, right? The digital age has thrown some surprising new contenders into the ring.
Precisely. Rare video games.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? But they've exploded in value. Limited releases, rare first editions of games, especially if they're still sealed, like a copy of Super Mario Bros. They've fetched millions in recent years.
Millions for a video game.
Millions. It's not just nostalgia playing here. It's about preserving these cultural artifacts from a relatively new but incredibly impactful medium.
And then you've got trading cards. We've moved way beyond just traditional baseball cards. Collectibles like Magic, The Gathering, Pokemon cards, they're achieving really serious figures at auction. It's driven by this global community of passionate enthusiasts and, crucially, the finite supply of specific highly graded cards.
So it's like a shared generational experience turning into a genuine asset class.
That's a great way to put it, yeah.
Okay, so those are some of the fascinating, maybe newer kids on the block. But what about the reliable heavyweights? The classic investments that seem to have always held their value, where's the stability? Right, the traditional pillars remain incredibly strong. They often represent excellent, sometimes more mature, investment opportunities. Fine art, for example. It's firmly established as an asset class. What makes art such a steady investment is its unique combination of aesthetic value, historical significance, and often just an artist's unparalleled skill. We've seen incredible examples like Banksy's Girl with Balloon painting. You remember the one that self-destructed at auction?
Oh, yeah, shredded itself.
Exactly. Sold for over £1 million. Mm-hmm. And that provocative act, well, it's estimated to have possibly doubled its value, precisely because it created this unique, unforgettable moment in art history. Now contrast that with, say, Leonardo da Vinci's Salvator Mundi. A timeless masterpiece fetched a stunning $450 million. Its value is rooted in unmatched historical importance and artistic genius. Different ends of the spectrum, both incredibly valuable.
Okay, that makes sense. What else falls into that traditional category?
Luxury jewelry, particularly from classic brands. You know the names. Boucheron, Harry Winston, Cartier, Tiffany & Co. They consistently retain value. And provenance, the history, truly matters here. Remember Vivien Leigh's inscribed gold ring from Laurence Olivier?
Mega.
It sold for £37,500. That celebrity association, that story, significantly boosted its investment price beyond just the gold value. It's the story and the craftsmanship combined.
And speaking of pedigree and brand heritage, watches must be another big one. That level of craftsmanship and history seems like it would command immense value. Is that fair?
Absolutely. Classic watches from renowned brands like Rolex, think iconic models, Submariner, Daytona, Day-Date, GMT, and Patek Philippe. They're perennial favorites. Sean Connery's vintage Rolex Submariner, the one from the 1962 Dr. No film.
The Bond watch.
Sort of the one. Sold for over $1 million, which is around £780,000 at auction. Here, the investment is in that precision engineering, the timeless design, brand recognition, and a history of exclusivity. Limited edition models like the 16800 Rolex Submariner are also highly sought after just for their rarity factor.
It seems you can even invest in things you can, well, drink, which seems like a bit of a paradox for a tangible asset.
It does, doesn't it? But it's a very lucrative paradox. Fine wines and spirits can be incredibly profitable investments. Here, factors like the vintage, proper storage conditions, absolutely critical, and even the cork's condition are paramount. What makes them valuable is their scarcity, their ability to age well, and the reputation of the distillery or the vineyard. Take, for example, a bottle of the Macallan Valerio Adami whiskey from 1926.
1926, wow.
Yeah, it set a world record, sold for £848,750 at auction back in 2018. Yeah. It's just a testament to the power of extreme rarity combined with a legendary brand.
Incredible. What about things with engines?
Ah, yes. Classic cars. Definitely a significant investment category.
Ah.
Iconic models like the Aston Martin V8 Vantage, the Jaguar E-Type S1 Roadster.
Yeah.
Let me exemplify this. There was a 1965 Black Beauty Jaguar E-Type S1 Roadster, low mileage, sold for $467,500. That's around £365,500. The investment here is in the design, the engineering heritage, often limited production runs, and that connection to a specific era of automotive history. Pure nostalgia for some, pure investment for others.
Okay. And you mentioned something a bit different earlier, something I wouldn't normally think of as a collectible.
Yeah.
Private number plates, really.
Absolutely. They can be incredibly valuable. The criteria for high value are quite specific, though. You're looking for few letters or numbers, maybe featuring a zero or one, or plates that actually spell a recognizable word. The plate 1AL, just the number one and zero, sold for an astounding 210,242 mornets back in 2009.
Wow.
It's a niche market, definitely. Driven by personal significance, exclusivity, and just the inherent scarcity of those short, memorable combinations.
So it's not just about the big, flashy items, then?
Not at all. There are other intriguing opportunities. Luxury handbags from Hermes or Chanel, for example. Rare or first-edition signed books. Even high-tech products can be significant. Think about a working Apple-like computer, one of only about 15 left in the world.
The original Apple computer.
The very first one. One sold for $375,000. That's about 230,000 pounds. It really underscores that unusual quirks, groundbreaking designs, verifiable craftsmanship, these can be the best path for investment, even in seemingly mundane categories.
Okay, so let's say you've spotted something amazing, something that seems to tick all those boxes we just discussed. Maybe it's a rare coin, a vintage watch, perhaps a piece of art with a fascinating story. But how do you actually know if it's truly a valuable investment? Or maybe just an old curio with sentimental worth? This feels like where the real deep dive into valuation begins. What's the X factor that sets a collectible apart and truly determines its worth?
Right, that X factor you're asking about.
Yeah.
It really boils down to a few core things. Desirability, rarity, and current market trends. Rarity might mean it was a limited edition run, or maybe it has a celebrity or royal association, something that gives it this undeniable cachet, this extra layer of interest. Understanding those intangibles is crucial. But beyond that, there are a few very concrete factors that are absolutely paramount.
Okay, like what?
First and foremost is provenance. You might hear the phrase making history. This is critical. The more solid the documented history, think an original box, the receipt, guarantee papers, service records, maybe an account from its creator or a previous owner, or an exhibition history, the more credible its authenticity is. And that directly impacts its potential return on investment. It truly tells the story of the item, you see, allows its journey to actually contribute to its value.
Got it. The backstory matters.
Immensely. Then there are marks and stamps, designer or manufacturer marks, even tiny ones you might need a jeweler's loop to see.
Yeah.
They significantly increase value. On handcrafted items, an artist's signature alongside the manufacturer's mark, that's invaluable. It's essentially an autograph on the item itself.
Okay, makes sense. And what about the actual physical state of the item? Does a little bit of wear and tear always drastically drop the value? Or, I don't know, can it sometimes add to the charm or the story?
That's a great question. Condition is, well, it's perhaps the most important factor for many, many items. Chips, cracks, stains, even just everyday wear and tear can dramatically affect value. Mint condition is often the goal, right? The ideal state. But this raises that important question. How much does condition really matter if something is truly one of a kind? The general rule is the rarer an item, the more leeway there tends to be regarding its condition. So a unique, irreplaceable piece of pottery with a crack might still be highly valuable, whereas a mass-produced item of similar vintage with comparable damage, that might be next to worthless. I once saw a collector almost weep over a tiny scratch on a vintage toy.
Oh, wow.
While another proudly displayed a chipped face simply because of its incredible historical context.
Mm.
It really shows how subjective condition can be sometimes.
Mm, okay. What else?
Then there's authenticity. Unfortunately, you know, many pieces out there are not genuine. Fakes and reproductions are common. Professional appraisers are trained to look for discrepancies in signatures, in stamps, in wear patterns that simply don't match the purported history of the piece. And if a piece has been restored, professional restoration, especially if it's done using period-appropriate tools and techniques, that can actually add value, particularly if it's done by a reputable restorer. Sometimes the hallmark of certain restorator firms could be almost as important as the original manufacturer's stamp.
Really?
Oh, yes. However, amateur repairs, botched jobs, they can severely reduce an item's investment value.
Okay, so even if something is damaged or not quite perfect, it might not be a total loss then. There's still hope for those forgotten relics maybe hiding in the attic.
Not at all a total loss. There's often salvage value.
Yeah.
Even damaged items can hold value for parts, you know, for further professional restoration down the line. Or even for crafters and makeover artists who can creatively transform them into something entirely new. And finally, a key consideration. Remember that old doesn't always equal valuable. You have to ask, is it collectible? Demand fluctuates wildly. An item might not sell simply because it's out of fashion right now, or maybe it's just too common to command serious attention from collectors.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the true value of any antique or collectible is, well, it's what a buyer is prepared to pay for it and what you, the seller, are prepared to accept.
Right.
It's a negotiated price at the end of the day, reflecting the passion and perception of a very specific market at a specific time.
Okay. So with all this incredible information, all these fascinating categories, these deep insights into valuation, what should you actually do if you're thinking about, you know, dipping your toe into this exciting world? How do you get started in a smart, informed way?
Right. Well, making a solid plan is definitely the first step. You really need to decide on the type of antique or collectible you want to focus on. Think about practical things. Available storage or display space, your budget, obviously, and crucially, your own interests. What do you actually like? Then create a comprehensive investment plan that guides your choices, making sure it aligns with your overall financial strategy. Don't just buy things randomly.
Good advice.
Which brings up a key consideration. Should you rely solely on your gut feeling when making a purchase?
Probably not.
My advice would be generally no, especially at the start. Seek specialist advice, or at the very least, commit to developing broad, deep knowledge yourself before committing to any expensive purchases. This just ensures you maximize your budget and invest based on solid data and informed expertise rather than just pure emotion or impulse.
So do your homework, basically. Become an expert yourself, or at least consult one before spending big money.
Exactly. And part of that homework absolutely includes active market research. Go to antique fairs, go to auctions like the International Art and Antiques Fair at Olympia, for instance. Just browse. Understand the pricing trends firsthand. This gives you a real-world feel for what's actually out there and, importantly, what things are actually selling for. It helps calibrate your expectations.
Okay, that makes sense. See it in person.
Definitely. However, and this is really important, it's crucial to be aware of the drawbacks. The antique and collectibles market is not regulated.
Not regulated, what does that mean practically?
It means you won't be entitled to compensation from official regulators if you make wrong decisions, or if an investment simply doesn't pan out as you hoped. There's no safety net like in some other financial markets. And related to that, there are absolutely no guarantees your items will sell at your desired prices. The market is fundamentally driven by supply and demand, which, as we know, can lead to significant price fluctuations. You just need to be prepared for that reality and approach it with a clear-eyed understanding of the risks involved.
Right. So manage expectations and understand the risks. Got it. Wow. What an incredible journey through a market that's clearly far more dynamic and way more diverse than many people probably realize. We've explored everything from, you know, the surprising investment potential of rare video games all the way to the critical importance of provenance in, say, ancient jewelry. It's really clear that this world beautifully blends the thrill of the hunt and that personal passion with the potential for smart, tangible investment. It really is a testament to our enduring human fascination with objects that tell a story.
Absolutely. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it's clear that investing in collectibles, it's about more than just assets on a spreadsheet, isn't it? It's about investing in history, in craftsmanship, in human stories. It's this tangible link to the past, but with the potential financial reward waiting in the future. So maybe a final thought, given what we've discussed today, this raises an interesting question, doesn't it? What forgotten objects around you, maybe in your own home, might be telling a hidden story, or perhaps even hold a surprising future value? We'd encourage you to maybe take a fresh look at the items in your own life with this new discerning eye. You might just appreciate their potential X factor, their provenance, in a whole new way.